So there's all kinds of hidden fees within your business that are just part of doing business. One of those is credit card processing. And for us, we didn't even realize how much we were paying in credit card processing with the first management software we were using for our practice. And when we switched over to P2 Everywhere, we just realized we were saving literally hundreds of dollars a month with credit card processing with their partner, with CardPoint, versus who we were using with our prior software. This has made a massive difference. It's more than paid for itself. It allows us to decrease our overhead. It allows us to have more cash flow to reinvest in our people, in our technology, in our facility, in marketing, and everything that's going to drive the business. So don't get abused by credit card processing companies. Make sure you're paying what you should pay. And if you're looking for a management software, I highly recommend PT Everywhere. Directly integrates with a processor, makes it very easy, and their rates are super, super competitive. So it's saved us a ton of money, and it probably will do the same for you if you don't know what you are getting charged. So head over to PT Everywhere, take a look at what they've got. I think you'll really like it.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
Okay, what's going on, guys? Dr. Danny here with PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today, we're going live in the Facebook group as well. So if you're not a member of the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group, head over there. There's about 5,500 or so other clinicians in there talking about business and helping each other out. It's a pretty cool resource. But we're going to start doing more of these, you know, highlighting some of the businesses that, you know, business owners in particular that we know pretty well and just sharing their story. And one of the people that I know probably better than any other business owner that we've worked with is the guy we get a chance to talk to today. And it's Jamie Yoder. James, I guess people are calling you James now that you're not, that you're an adult. Jamie Yoder, on-site PT is the name of his practice in Cleveland, Ohio. And you know, what's cool about us is in the very first group of businesses that I started working with, you know, James is one of the very first ones and somebody that's been around, you know, with what we've done with PT Biz from the beginning, when we could all sit at a table together for dinner, like not like a super long table, but like literally a round table, that like you would go to dinner with your friends, small enough to be able to do that. And for me to be able to see, you know, the evolution of coming in, just having this, this side hustle in, you know, in a gym, to then expanding, you know, over the years to where you are now with, you know, having like your own standalone space, all these partnerships coming your way, you know, just the growth has been pretty awesome to watch. And also like understanding the work that you've put in is really cool to see as well. So I'm excited to have a conversation and highlight that stuff. So anyway, Jamie, I keep calling you Jamie. Tell me which one is it at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make the switch when I turned 30 to James, kind of in the professional world.
It's too late, dude. It's too late in life.
I know. I always tell people maybe like 45, I'll make the switch to Jim. There's a few select people that have started calling me that already. Yeah, that's like the natural transition.
Yeah.
When your name is James, I think. So well, it's hard to get away from it.
Dude, what happened to me? So my name is Daniel, and the only people that call me that, it's my mom when she's mad at, and even to this day, I have my own kids. And if she gets upset with me, she changes my name back to Daniel. I've been called Danny my whole life. But when I joined the Army and I would introduce myself to, especially to like another officer or a senior officer, they always want to know your first name. So it's always kind of awkward. You don't know, like, do I say Captain Matei? Do I say, oh, hi, I'm Captain Danny Matei? You know, it's like, they want to know your first name, especially if they're senior to you. And every single time they'd be like, oh, great to meet you, Dan. And they would change my name to Dan. And then everybody would think my name is Dan. And then they would say Dan, and I wouldn't know who they were talking to. And so it's confusing, man. I feel bad for you. I know exactly what you're going through.
It's the same thing happens to me with older folks, especially older guys, older patients, you know, 55, 60 plus, like my accountant. Just, you know, in the emails, he's just like, all right, Jim, here's what I got for you. I'm like, What the heck, man? You've never called me, you know? So it seems like that older generation just, you know, gravitates to Jim naturally. So, you know,
maybe they're thinking to themselves, like, Jim is more of like, that's more of a manly name. Jamie could be a girl as well.
Definitely.
They're trying to do you a favor, potentially.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely know more girls named Jamie than guys. So maybe that's what prompted the switch.
You're like Courtney. When I first talked to Courtney, I thought Courtney was a girl. And when he picked up the phone, and it's apparent right away that he's not, I couldn't help myself. And I was like, whoa, I thought you were a girl. And he goes, people, I get that all the time, man. And, you know, so no, I get it. But anyway, your name transition, you know, the evolution of your name, the evolution of your business is what we're going to get into today. But I'm always curious about clinicians and how they ended up in the profession. Because, you know, most of us, the story I hear the most is like athlete, injury, exposure to something, and then in the profession. What prompted you to want to go into physical therapy over all these other things we could do?
I mean, I think the story is not super different. My dad was a high school basketball coach. I was super into basketball. Probably not the best choice for a 6 foot, not that athletic guy. But I was always really obsessed with optimizing my athleticism and my body and, you know, all those kind of things was always really fascinating to me. So I didn't decide I was going to go to PT. Like, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I didn't decide I was going to go to PT. It's not like I definitely wasn't somebody that was like, I've wanted to be a PT my whole life. And I ended up getting into PT school. I didn't really have a lot of other great options. There was definitely multiple times during PT school, during certain rotations where I was like, this is terrible, you know? I knew for sure that I wanted to do, you know, some type of orthopedic outpatient, sports performance type right from the jump when I got into PT school. But I think the big thing for me, nobody in my family has ever had a business. I never imagined that I would, start my own practice. It kind of more, probably like a lot of people, came out of necessity more than anything else. And I think that for me, I had, you know, a couple pretty good injuries, surgeries when I played college hoops. And at a small school and at a high school without a ton of resources, I mean, I grew up in the middle of nowhere in Ohio, an hour and 20 minutes from any kind of city. I always felt like I didn't have a lot of help. And you know, there's a lot of people, I feel like, in that world where you care a lot about what you're doing. You've put a lot of time into something. And other people don't care as much as you do. And then, so I felt like that from the patient side. And then when I got into PT school and when I started working, I worked at a pretty good outpatient facility, kind of affiliated with Ohio University. I wouldn't call it a high volume clinic, we still saw, 10 to 15 a day. And I certainly felt like, because of all the demands, right, that there's so much stuff that you have to do other than helping the patient. I just felt like I was now becoming this person that couldn't care as much about this person in front of me. And I had saw that from the other side. And so I didn't like that feeling. That's kind of, I think, what got me moving in this direction and kind of where I, you know, where we're at today. So
was there like a specific moment, you know, where you're like, dude, I can't do this shit anymore. I got to figure out a better way to work with people. And cause it sounds like for you, there's a frustration with not being able to, set up things and work with people the way that you would have wanted to through a full plan of care. And in particular, probably some of the sports performance stuff that you were interested in anyway. So was there like a particular moment that was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm frustrated. Or was it sort of like a slow you know, gradual, you know, growing to that point where you decided I got to do my own thing?
Yeah. I think that I got to a point about 3 or 4 years in where a lot of things were like in my life where I was kind of, I'd been living down around Ohio University where I went to PT school, and I was ready to kind of move out of there. I had met a gal that I was, you know, knew that I wanted to marry someday, and she was moving, and it just, that timing at the same time, I just got to this point in my life where I was like, what am I doing? Like, you know, and it, maybe I was like 27, 28. And before then I was just kind of going through them. Like I was learning a lot, and I did an OCS, like, you know, residency in orthopedics. But I got to a point where I was like, man, I don't really like what I'm doing day to day. Like, it's not terrible. But it's definitely not anywhere near like a dream job or anything like that. That was really hard, like stressful, time, you know, and, I remember, when I first started looking into this, I moved up to Cleveland and just did like, for like 6 months, I did like, you know, travel, like home care, travel sniff. And I was like, maybe this won't be that bad. The pay is pretty good. After like 2 weeks, I was like, this is awful. Like, you know, amazing the people that are able to do that type of work. It's obviously important, but not for me. And so it was really stressful time. And there's probably a lot of people in that position. And it's kind of like, there's a lot more resources now, I feel like, than there was in 2016 when I first started looking into this stuff. I remember downloading like the Jared Carter ebook reading that, and then like getting into some Kelly Starrett stuff. And I think that's where I started to listen to one of your podcasts, and you know, and then just started kind of putting things in motion, you know, to move in this direction. So.
Yeah. You know, and I have a hard time even remembering how we got connected originally, because, you know, I think of some of the folks that we first started working with, and like, you know, like I knew Eve cause we had worked together previously. He did consulting with me, on starting his practice up. And then Kingsley, he and I had been involved with, Mobility Watt at the time. He was, you know, coming on, to work as a, like an assistant instructor and get involved with what's now the Ready State. And you know, but I forget, like sometimes, you know, where things come from. So what was your first exposure? Was it the podcast? Was it through like somebody that...
Doc and Jock. Yeah, I was listening to Doc and Jock and a couple of Kelly Starrett podcasts. You know, to be honest with you, I did like this Paul Goff thing online. And I just, like, there was some decent information in there, but... I just felt like this wasn't the type of people that, you know, I didn't really fit in with that group. I had reached out to you guys a couple times just with questions. And I was like, they're probably not going to answer this, just about like, what type of bands do you guys use for this? Like very granular things. And I think Ashley sent me links, and then we linked up on a call, and you know, looking back, like a lot of the sales stuff you use with patients, you definitely used on me. a lot of the stuff that you guys teach. But I was like, you know, I gotta give this a run, because I tried to figure things out on my own for, you know, 4, 5, 6 months at least. And I'm very, I'm very, if there's one thing about owning a business, you become very self-aware, or you'll probably fail if you don't. Sure. For me, I think that I'm very good at just kind of like putting my head down and like doing the work. That can get you to a really difficult place, like with your relationships. I was working a ton at different places, no organization, like, you know, didn't really know what I was doing. Nobody in my family, my parents are teachers, like nobody in my family had much business acumen. So when I had the opportunity to jump into that initial cohort, and a lot of the people kind of spoke the same language as me, so to speak, it was kind of a no-brainer. But, you know, I've had to work through, definitely coming from a really small town in Ohio, a lot of money mindset issues and very conservative. And so, you know, even back then, like the amount of money, the investment was very stressful at first. But at the same time, like, you know, we have that same conversation with our patients all the time. And so it would be hypocritical of me to not push the envelope and invest in what I'm doing and what our business is doing as well. So
I think it's very scary. You know, I think about the first, you know, sort of business development stuff that I ever did, you know, even going to a business conference. You know, it's funny, I was talking to Heidi Jenanga, the owner of WebPT, the other day, and the first business conference I ever went to was in 2015. They had the Ascend Business Conference, which they still do this day. And at the time, I'd been in business for like not even a year, man. Right. So, and there was a few hundred people. It was like one of the first ones that they did. And it's intimidating. And it's also like, man, this conference is like $1,000 or whatever. And then I got travel here. I got to take time from doing these other things. And I just don't know if it's worth it. And, you know, what am I going to learn? And then, you know, what you realize, I think to what you just said, being self-aware and knowing, understanding that there's things that you don't know and you can learn them. But if you're trying to piece it all together yourself, in particular with the thing that is providing for your family, that's kind of the way I look at it. It's like, why am I trying to be so stubborn and just not actually like trying to figure out what's already worked and work with people that have already done this and then just go faster? Because, you know, the only reason you wouldn't do that is because of your ego, where you want to be able to have this claim where it's like, oh, I'm completely self-made. I figured out everything by myself. But that's just not the case for anybody. Like that's just, and if they try to do that, they probably actually didn't have all that much success. Everybody has mentors in different ways. And the fastest way that I've found is find whoever you're trying to emulate and that also has the life that you want. I think that's the other thing. I know a lot of people that are successful in business and they're on their third marriage. They don't talk to their kids. They're completely unhealthy. And yeah, they have a lot of money, but they're winning in like one of the scores in life, you know, that we look at, like they're killing it there and they're off the rails. So their average sucks. And we just want to have like a balanced life, an extraordinary life, you know, a life of adventure with our family, you know, and our friends and be healthy and happy. And like, money's not the most important thing. It does allow us to do the things we want to do in life. And it's a byproduct of providing a lot of value to other people. But, you know, I think you got to look for somebody that's trying to, that has a life that's similar to you hope to have one day as well.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, over the past 5 years, there's some options out there when it comes to mentorship in this world. But I think for me, like, you know, and we spoke briefly about this before we started the podcast, like, or this video, I think that, I've been in this group for, you know, since its inception, and, I have new members and people that are just starting their businesses out asking me why I'm still in the group when they find out like I'm an OG, right? And I think it's this group is kind of a niche within the cash PT out of network world. And I think that's important because you kind of, it's like, I think about the parallel between like training and stuff with patients. Like, you have to find something you like doing and something, you know, people you like being around in a community that you enjoy spending time talking to. And like that kind of speaks the same language as you. I think that's really important. And, you know, just like some of these other groups, it's just, I see some of the stuff and the content and it just, you know, it's not that there's not versatility and, you know, everybody's exactly the same, but I think there's similar values with a lot of the people in the PT Biz group, and that's been really helpful to kind of streamline, you know, some of the content that we can take and that we can, you know, use more effectively, more quickly, basically.
Yeah, and I think the other big thing, and I'd love to, you know, it's interesting to hear your perspective because, you know, so much has changed and evolved, right? Like, we started with 6 people. We have 200 people, right? Like every year we get together, it sort of, you know, it grows. And the challenge is to make sure that we are getting the right people in the room and having the people that are not the right fit, we're able to transition them to whatever other options are best for them, but that it just may not be us. And that, you know, that's a difficult thing to do at scale. I think that's the hardest thing that we found, but it's something that we work really hard on, because the last thing, and you know, and I see this in other groups that I've been a part of, it's like at a certain size, there's just a bunch of assholes now. And it starts to become real competitive again. And it starts to become like, you know, this, it's not a positive competitive, you know, environment, which exists. And I think that we do have that. We see people that are like, all right, I see where you're at. I'm chasing you, you know, and I hope you kill it too, but like, I'm going to try really hard. And keeping egos out of it is tough, man. So, you know, I think that's been something that we tried really hard to do. But, you know, for you, people like yourself that have been around for as long as you have, like, it really just starts with that core element of the, you know, the folks that are like yourself that are now in a lot of ways, like mentoring other people inherently in live events. Like they want to know what you're doing. You have a name tag that is like, you know, a color that gives you some credibility, you know? And so like, what's that been like to be in a position where it's almost like a mentorship position in a way, you know, with other business owners?
Yeah. I mean, I think when people ask me about, you know, why I've stuck around and ask me some of those questions, I think that, again, going back to kind of like being self-aware and understanding, and that sometimes understanding some of these things doesn't happen overnight. Like it took me probably a year around there to figure some of these things out about myself that you're just kind of blind to. But you know, for me, like I always tell people, I'm very competitive. I try to do as good of a job keeping my ego in check, because I think that's really important. And I have kind of this grind, stick to it, you know, strong will mentality. But I'm also a little bit, I can be unorganized at times. I can get a little bit comfortable, I think. I mean, I really value family time, friends, stuff like that. I don't have this story that, you know, where I like didn't see anyone for, you hear these stories on podcasts, yeah, of people that like started making, you know, grew their business at this insane rate and ate ramen noodles and, you know, didn't spend any money and didn't go out to dinner. And, you know, like that wasn't going to work for me. And that's not what I wanted. And so I think that understanding some of those things about yourself and just aside from all the knowledge that's available in a group like this, just keeping you kind of in check with some of those things that you understand about your time, yourself. And it kind of, it forces you to dedicate time to this. And again, I look at a lot of parallels between what we tell our patients and like about, you know, improving and growing and kind of the journey. And I think it's the same thing for us sometimes is, you know, if you're not accountable and you're not consistent with stuff, things aren't going to change. And I know myself, and I know that if I'm not in a group like this, like I think that, you know, that will be something that kind of falls by the wayside. And then you talked about some of the changes in the group as you guys have had to scale up and, you know, adjust what you're doing. And I mean, quite frankly, the group's way better than it was the first, you know, like 6 to 12 months, where there's multiple people aside from yourself. There's coaches that have come on board that have different skill sets. There's tons of content. There's tons of plug and play things. I mean, just, I remember when I went to hire a PT, I was like, I don't know how to make like a legit good looking PT job description. I've never done this. There's been, and then, oh, like somebody's got a great one right here. I can just make some tweaks to.
Yeah.
Instead of that taking 4 hours, it took 30 minutes and probably is way better. So there's just countless times that things like that happen. And so you have those plug and play options as well. And I think, you know, the last thing I would say is our discussions aren't, when I have mentorship time or opportunities to chat with you or you know, Eve or some of the other people in the group, like our discussions are a lot different than they were, you know, when we first started, we're not discussing how to get more patients as much. Like we're discussing how, like, you know, what would you do to try to, what are my steps to buying my own building? What are my steps to, like, should I, you know, personal things, even with, when it comes to real estate and stuff like that. So, there's that side of things where you can have those higher level conversations, but also you guys have so much data now to provide to, I think, the entry level people that are starting their business, because you've had so many of these conversations, that's just invaluable. So that's, I think, what I tell, or some of the key points of what I discuss with people that have just jumped into a group or are thinking about getting into it.
Well, it's, you know, honestly, it's great to hear that, because, you know, behind the scenes, I guess, if we're to put it that way, we do have a lot of data. And it's interesting, like, I've had multiple business consultants tell us that we just need to create a franchise out of this, and just like, hey, create a franchise. Maybe you'll keep 50% of the people that you're working with. Everybody else will leave, and the enterprise value of it will go up by like 10x, right? And it's on paper, you would look at that, and most people say, on business decision, this makes complete sense. I look at that and I'm like, this ruins something that we've just worked so fucking hard to try to build. And it would make absolutely no sense from a personal standpoint to do so. And I feel like there's this interesting give and take with, you know, we work with people a year at a time. And if we do a bad job, then they have everything that they've worked with us on. They have their business. They can go and do whatever they want. And they have, there's no reason that they would need to stick around. It's up to us to continue to iterate and evolve and provide value, so that each year they have to look at this and say, is this worth it, you know, for me to continue to work with this group? And we enjoy that pressure, because it forces us to continue to, you know, make this better. And I almost look at it like this franchise model, I just feel like it's just a broken system. It's very one-sided. And, you know, for us, what we look at is like, well, why can't we have the same benefits of that? Like the similarities in terms of pooled data and resources and systems that are tested across multiple, you know, different practices, share that, but then also allow the creativity of the entrepreneur to say, well, I want my logo to look like this, and this is the niche that I want to focus on. And, oh, hey, this is sort of this element that I want to add on, or this is what I want my space to look like. And all the enjoyable parts that you get taken away from you when it's like, hey, it has to be this red and you have to use this, you know, marketing brochure or whatever. Like, you don't get the creativity side, which I think is actually one of the most fun parts of owning a business in general. Like, I remember getting so excited about my logo when we redid it, because we actually had we actually paid to get it redone, versus like we just like $5, we got our first logo. And then we had somebody go through it, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, I wanted a little darker of blue, you know, and I want like this to look that way. And it just was so much fun for me to do that. And that's the creative side. So I love the fact that you guys can still do that. And, you know, you're building these skills that can transfer into so many other areas outside of your own practice if you decide to do that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree with all that stuff, man. I mean, it's just, it's kind of, again, it's like that discussion that you have with, you're forced to kind of have more skin in the game, because you start to develop relationships with the people in the group. Sure. And it's impossible not to care about them. And people can see through that bullshit when there's not enough, there's no sincerity. And I hate to keep saying this, but I feel like that with patients, you know, like in this model that we create, like, you have to care more, unless you're just a huge asshole. And like, when I was, you know, even like I said, I wasn't in a crazy high volume clinic, but it was hard for me to care as much. I had too many other things to do. You know, it was hard for me to go that extra mile for people just because, and so I think that it's similar with this group. You know, if you guys were to do something like that versus what we have in place now, and you know, you can't, like, I had a review once from a patient that said one of the biggest things that they took from our time together was they could, and this has always stuck with me, it was very clear the level of concern that I had, that we had about them. And I remember, like, I feel like that in this group. I feel like the coaches, the people in the group there's a level of concern in a good way, you know, not like they're concerned about this person, but you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And just that we actually care about patients. And that's really important to me. And I think it comes through very obviously that it's the same, you know, same thing in the group. So.
Well, no, totally. And I think you're right. The amount in which you care about your patients is very apparent to them. You know, like it's so obvious. And when somebody is actually listening to somebody else, they can tell. Versus if somebody is like distracted because they have, you know, 10 questionnaires they have to finish and these notes that they haven't caught up on. Like in particular, I remember being in these high volume settings where the only way I could get out of there without staying for an hour afterward, and this would include me typing up notes and everything over lunch, would be to document some of the subjective while we were talking. And that is like the worst way to build rapport with somebody, you know? Cause like, it'd be like me, I'm looking over here and I'm like, oh yeah, that hurts. How that happened? Okay. And then, oh, what was that? Mechanism injury? Okay. And then I would type these things in because it was in my template and it would save me time. And I look back on it and I'm like, man, what a disservice I did to all those people by just not actually just sitting there and looking at them and sitting down and being like, dude, what's up, man? Tell me what happened, you know? And just let's have a conversation about what's going on. And we get a chance to do that because of the volume that we have, the burden of not having quite as much documentation, and these other sort of questionnaires and insurance verifications and all that stuff. And I think that's like the greatest part of all of it, man, is that you get to have this human connection. They feel it because they're like, whoa, dude, you're actually paying attention to me. And how many people, and this is the thing that always threw me off, and I didn't realize what was happening initially, is how many people I would have that would break down, they would actually cry in my office. And that happened to me one time in the Army once. And it was awkward as hell because I didn't know what to do. I just sort of sat there and waited for them to stop. And I was like, are you good? You know? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm okay. And I've had so many patients cry in my office just because they're like able to express this frustration they have and no one listens to them, you know? And so, I mean, think about that, dude. You're like, it's literally the greatest part. And you're impacting people in such a way that they feel so compelled to want to share with you and develop that trust that it's hard to do in healthcare.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a completely different situation with patients and the model, you know, and I think you have to make sure that you're getting the right people in the door too, but because not everybody cares and values things as much. And that's hard too. I mean, when you get those patients that want to come in that, are just looking for like, eh, I've done this before, like show me some stuff to do, whatever. And you have to be able to say no to some people. And, you know, especially when you're first starting out, like, that can be really stressful because you kind of take it personal, like, and I think you do need to reflect on what you could have done differently, but, you know, I think that's important on the other side of things too. So,
well, let's talk about growth because, you know, you say slow growth, but, and it's all relative, right? Like we have some people that we've worked with and they go bananas, right? They're going from just starting a practice to, you know, a 7-figure practice in like 3 years, which is just fast, like really, really fast and not normal. As well as there's very little balance that happens with that. You know, when we look at where you're at, and part of this is just like purely, you know, if we look at numbers, right? Do you remember what your first year of like top line revenue was and then what you're projecting to be at this year?
Yeah, I mean, I know that to get into the group in 2017 or 18 or something.
17, yeah.
Yeah, the COVID years always throw me off there. But I know we had to be doing $5,000 a month to get into the group and I definitely wasn't. You know, so maybe 3,000, 3,500 a month. So that first year when it was kind of a side hustle, you know, top line revenue was probably maybe 50 grand.
Yeah.
And so now, I mean, I'm actually interviewing a PT today. So if we can get this guy on board here and get him rolling, I think we can, you know, get to 750 this year. That's kind of what we're projecting right now and what we're shooting for. Yeah. So,
first of all, that's awesome. If you could go back in time, and this is something that I play this game with myself because I constantly am trying to, like, you know, grow and improve, and sometimes I get frustrated with what I feel like is somewhat of a slow pace, right? But if you could go back 2017, right, when you're just in that little sublease office, and you could be like, yo, Jamie, or whatever you want to call yourself, probably call you, hey, Jim. Hey,
it's probably was back then. Yeah.
You're like, hey, it's Jim from the future. Jamie.
With a mustache, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just say, yeah. In 2022, your business is going to be at like $750,000. You know, don't stress so much. It's going to be fine. Like, would you even believe yourself?
No, I mean, I think like a lot of people, it's like, man, if I can just like do a treat in a more enjoyable environment and replace my revenue, like that'll be great. I'll be,
yeah.
And then, you know, but that fear and that stress probably is part of what drives you to grind as well, you know? And look, man, I mean, the challenge is only there's not less when you, you know, go from 50,000 a year to 750, they're just different.
Yeah.
And there's
what's different. Like what would you say your biggest problem was just starting out, and what's sort of your biggest problem that you're working through now?
I think just starting out, there was a lot, I mean, there was many problems. I think that, you know, just having a structure and guidance on kind of, how to approach this model and some kind of a, blueprint as to, you know, how to talk to patients, how to sell. I was, you know, again, just not having any of that knowledge base. And so that was a big issue early on. And then I think now, man, it's just when you get to a point where you have, you know, multiple employees and partnerships, and we're doing training, we're definitely like a hybrid clinic right now, which we can talk about a little bit. I just listened to the podcast that you did on that, which was interesting. But I think that, man, sometimes you have to be, at least once a week, something happens where I feel that like gut punch in the middle of my stomach,
yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, somebody missing a day of work, how am I going to handle all these patients at the last second, or, you know, something with an insurance, out of network insurance situation or whatever. So you just have to be able to roll with that. I mean, that can be stressful. And sometimes it's just like, man, you're just playing whack-a-mole. There's so many things like, I did this, I finally got this done. But you just have to be okay with that. And, you know, realize, like you say, you talk a lot about just keep playing the game. Like, you know, the game, you feel like you want to get to a point where you've won the game and the game's over. But you know, doesn't happen, I don't think. So, as long as you can keep playing it and play that game consistently and have things to keep you accountable, you look back a couple of years and you're like, wow, this is, my lifestyle's way better. What I'm doing on a day-to-day basis is a lot more of what I want to do. And I think, you know, that just keeps growing hopefully from there.
Well, I think also about, you know, that you sent me an email that was just like super cool. You and your wife were in Hawaii for how long are you guys there?
Yeah, I know. I wanted to post something in the group, but I have this like, I hate coming off as like, look at me, you know.
No, I got you. I'm the same way. I
hate it. So it's really hard for me to like, I'm like, I get overly mad at people when they post stuff like that. Like my wife's like, dude, just let it go. You know? So, anyway, so I remember when we got married in October, we just celebrated our 4-year anniversary. So, about maybe a year or 6 or 9 months after I jumped into the group, we got married and, you know, we really wanted to go to Hawaii. My wife wanted to go. That was like our dream place. You know, being from a small town in Ohio, right? Like much different. And you know, but we just couldn't swing it, right? Like I couldn't take more than a week off. We couldn't afford it. It just, you know, there was no way. And even if I would have tried to do that, I would have been so stressed at that point. Like I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So in August we went for like 12 days. You know, it was amazing. You know, there's the business continued, like it didn't miss a beat. It continued to, you know, function, which is humbling, right? As good or better without me being here.
That's a great sign, by the way, in terms of how you set it up and systemized it and the people that you have in terms of them being a good fit for the culture you've defined as well. Like that is such a good stress test to be gone for like 2 weeks and to come back and be like, oh, we did just as good, if not better. Like, and then, but in some ways it's almost like, maybe am I needed? Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it, you know, it is a good test because it does, you know, there's a couple things that pop up that, you know, in a system that you need to clean up, which that's a never ending game, I feel right. like, of optimization and tweaking. And, but yeah. And I mean, I think the thing that was, you know, that really meant the most to me was just, I don't really care. Like my family goes to Hilton Head every year, which is a nice place, but we stay in these condos that are like, you know, 80s, 90s condos. And I have a great time. Like I don't, going to Hawaii was cool, like whatever. It was pretty, but you know, for me being able to provide things for my wife and someday hopefully family, and it's really important. That's probably, it's always at the top of my list when it comes to, we do these, you know, what's going to motivate you or what's going to keep you disciplined when you have to go see a patient at 7 a.m. or, you know, I go into the office when it's snowing in Cleveland in February and like 10 degrees out early to, you know, clean up a system or something. Like those are the things that, you know, mean the most to me, I think. And so I just, you know, felt like shooting that email out just to kind of, it was a good reflection kind of moment. I think when you, so many times you get stuck and you feel like you're still like, I still have weeks where I feel like the fire hose is just crushing me. And I,
yeah.
We're way behind and I wanted to do this 3 weeks ago, but it's important, I think, to look at some of those things from a, take a step back from a bigger picture as well.
Well, I think there's two things there. One is celebrating your success, which you have had a lot of success, man. I mean, people like you and me, it's hard for us. I'm not really sure why. I'm sure there's some deep reasons that, you know, we could uncover with some professional help to figure out why is it hard for us to celebrate, you know, wins versus, and in particular, you know, work so hard to achieve something, but then once you do, it's just on to the next thing, right? It's not, so celebrating those things, I think, is really important. And that trip that you guys took is a great way to do it. You know, such a great way to experience it's definitely the most just, it's the nicest place I've ever been in my life. You know, the years that we spent in Hawaii is just, it doesn't even seem like a real place. You get there and it's so vibrant. I remember thinking like, is green supposed to look like this? Is this what green actually looks like? You know, and there's like flowers and fruit everywhere. It's crazy. It's literally like a paradise. So being able to take your spouse there, you know, on a trip and disconnect in a way where you could just be present, like that is so difficult to do. And being able to accomplish that is huge. But, you know, I think the other thing is, this idea of constantly, like things constantly needing to be adjusted and improved, and the business is a living, breathing thing. You cannot just like leave it to its own devices forever. And I mean, and if you did, you'd have to have somebody else take over to be able to really manage those systems and manage the business. But I mean, that's also part of the fun of it, right? It's like it's the game that you never have to stop playing. It's the game that it always gets harder and you always have to get better in order to like get to the next level of whatever that game is.
It's just you get into this position where it's just constant problem solving and figuring out how to do things that you don't really know how to do and you've never done before. So having a group of people that, you know, have done some of those higher level things that you haven't done yet that you can seek advice from, and being in a group that's so open and it's not like, you know, I'm not going to tell you all my secrets,
right.
But then on the other side of things, being able to, have discussions like this and providing mentorship to people that are, you know, doing $50,000 a month in a year as a side hustle, it makes you kind of go back and, you know, retweak and think about, you know, some of your stuff as well. Also, and that's something I think too, I've had a handful of people, you know, in the group that I've developed relationships and that have kind of like moved on for whatever reason. And sometimes people will say like, well, you know, I feel like I've gotten a lot of value out of the group, but, you know, I want to be able to implement, or, you know, I want to explore some other things and stuff like that. But for me, I think, you know, there's certainly presentations and components of things that I've heard multiple times at this point. Right. But sometimes you need to hear things a couple times. It's the same reason we read books multiple times, and you're pulling different things out of that to really fully grasp those concepts. And then I think the other part of that is there's times where I remember like hearing a conversation once about becoming an S corp, or like getting a standalone space someday, and going, and in my head, I'm like, come on, like this, I'm not ready for this. Like, you know, and I'll take some notes and, you know, see what I can pull from this. And then you go back and you bring those notes in with where you're at now, you hear the presentation again or the content again, and it really helps you understand things a lot better. So I think that's another really important thing as well.
Yeah. And I mean, what you're describing too is skill sets, right? So I always talk about like two elements that people really need to improve as they start and grow their business. So one is just, you don't have the business skill set in this, you know, understanding sales and marketing and systemizing and hiring and, you know, being able to actually like drive to the vision that you have. Like we didn't go to school for those things, but we have a natural inclination to be problem solvers, to be great communicators. Like it's a superpower in a lot of ways for us as we go into, you know, entrepreneurship with the PT skill set that we have. But the second side of that, and I think this is what people, and it's one of the reasons why I'm involved in groups to this day, is the expansion of your network. And the network expansion is an unfair advantage in many ways for a couple reasons, because it's not just those people, but it's the loose connections of the people that those people know. And from there, you also have this unique opportunity to develop these, you know, entrepreneur friends that are all over the country, to where like I literally can't go to most cities in the country without having somebody that I could grab a beer with or grab dinner with. And it'd be totally like just like a super easy conversation. It's not hard. Like we have so much in common. You get to meet these people, and it's such a great way to break up the isolation that is entrepreneurship in so many ways, where you feel very alienated, right? So, and for you, now you've seen like, hey, 6 people to 200, like there's a lot more folks there and a lot more knowledge in the room, but also a lot more opportunities to develop your network with the right people.
For sure. And, you know, those conversations at the events, those side conversations are always really helpful. I mean, there's certainly, I think I've been to 6 or 7 events. I've missed a couple here and there. And then we with COVID, you know, that we're virtual, but those conversations at the events, there's been at least a couple nuggets, man, that each time that I've this has got me over the hump to want to do this or figure out this situation or solve this problem. And who knows how long it would have taken me to figure some of that stuff out if I didn't do that on the other end. So,
I can totally agree. Well, dude, here's what I kind of want to leave it with, you know, for you, a lot of people that listen to this conversation or this podcast, they're not as far along as you are, you know, with the cash practice, with the hybrid practice. Like they're either, hey, I'm just thinking about starting, I don't even know if this is going to work, or I just got started and I'm not sure if I can grow this, you know, to a point where it's replacing my income and, or getting to a point where they can, you know, grow past themselves. You've gone through every single stage, but I feel like that early stage is tough. You know, what advice do you have for people that are just getting started in terms of, you know, being able to get to the stage where you're at, where, you know, multiple employees and the business runs without you? You know, what advice do you have for people who are just getting going?
I did a lot of things wrong, and multiple times that I got advice from you guys or mentors, and I didn't do what they said right away. And, you know, like I said, I feel like plenty, like, I kind of feel like if I could do this and get to this point, you know, it, it's very doable. And so, and what's that quote? Like, regret is a lot more, something about, regret's a lot worse than failure. You know, regretting not trying to do something, because you will fail. You will fail multiple times and, in different, you know, scenarios. But, I think that, you know, got to get some mentorship, and then you got to understand that, you know, figure out what you're good at and where, what your weaknesses are. And as soon as you can start to build a team and be patient to find the right people, that's as important as anything. You know, I look back and I think like, man, I should have probably brought somebody on here faster or here. I shouldn't have. And, you know, but sometimes it takes a little bit of time to find the right person. You know, so those would be some of the main things that, you know, and there's no perfect way that you have to do this either. You know, everybody's life is different. Everybody's situation is different. Everybody's area that they're in is different. And I think there's, you know, whether it's straight cash or hybrid or, you know, doing some training as well. You gotta problem solve and try some stuff and make it work for, you know, for your situation, and play the long game. And those would be some of the, you know, the key thoughts that I would have on that.
Perfect, man. Well, Jamie, I appreciate your time today. If, people are interested in, you know, learning more about your practice and, you know, maybe they're listening to this and they're an awesome PT and they don't want to start their own thing and they just want to work for, you know, a cool entrepreneur and work with them and help grow their business. Where do they go to learn more about what you got going on?
We are, a couple of years ago, we were still known to the IRS as on-site PT, but we switched to OrthoSport HQ when we started to do training. And so www.orthosporthq.com, we're actually in the process of redoing our website right now. Cool. Or you can email me at drjames@onsite-pt.com.
Cool, man. All right. Well, hey, dude, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to end this live stream and we'll go ahead and cut it off here, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast as always, and we will catch you next week.
Thanks.
Hey, Peach Entrepreneurs, we have big, exciting news, a new program that we just came out with that is our PT Biz part-time to full-time five-day challenge. Over the course of 5 days, we get you crystal clear on exactly how much money you need to replace by getting you ultra clear on how much you're actually spending. We get you crystal clear on the number of people you're going to see and the average visit rate you're going to need to have in order to replace your income to be able to go full-time. We go through 3 different strategies that you can take to go from part-time to full-time, and you can pick the one that's the best for you based on your current situation. Then we share with you the sales and marketing systems that we use within our mastermind that you need to have as well if you want to go full-time in your own practice. And then finally, we help you create a 1-page business plan. That's right, not these 15-day business plans. You want to take the Small Business Association, a 1-day business plan that's going to help you get very clear on exactly what you need to do and when you're going to do it to take action. If you're interested in signing up for this challenge, it's totally free. Head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge. Get signed up there. Please enjoy. We put a lot of energy into this. It's totally free. It's something I think is going to help you tremendously as long as you're willing to do the work. If you're doing the work, you're getting information put down and getting yourself ready to take action in a very organized way, you will have success, which is what we want. So head to physicaltherapybiz.com/challenge and get signed up today. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT Entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT Entrepreneur, and we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.